this week on the RV Podcast. What is so attractive to so many people about the RV lifestyle?
The RV lifestyle, which I've been doing for years, means freedom. Freedom to go where I want, see who I want, visit friends and family, and just have the openness of the road.
Welcome, fellow travelers. It's time for another episode of the RV Podcast.
Answering your questions, sharing tips, suggesting great trips and off-the-beaten-path adventures, and always staying on top of the RV lifestyle news you need to know about with great interviews and inside industry information.
Here's your hosts, award-winning journalists Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
Hey, fellow travelers. Welcome to another edition of the RV Podcast, your guide to freedom and fun through the RV lifestyle. No matter what kind of an RV you have, whether it's a motorhome, a towable trailer, a tent, even if you're just dreaming about getting an RV someday, this show is for you, because on this podcast, we talk about getting out there, enjoying God's amazing creation, meeting interesting people, boondocking, discovering fun places, and using the right gear and technology to enhance our RV lifestyle. So welcome. We are honored that you chose to put us in your ears this week. Well, we're going to talk about what it is about the RV lifestyle that is so attractive to so many people. And you hear Jennifer and me talk about that every week and on our YouTube videos, why we love it so much. But we thought we would ask a bunch of folks that we met at RV shows around the country, and guess what? Their reasons are pretty much the same as ours, and we thought we would put all this together in kind of a audio interview of the week with lots of different people recorded over the past several months as we have been traveling around the country. So we are looking forward to letting you know what the RV lifestyle is going to be all about. So we are going to talk about that and many, many more things. But first, let's bring on my lifelong traveling companion and my bride, Jennifer. Hi, my dear.
Hello, Michael.
What a beautiful day it is, huh?
It is perfect.
Well, this week finds us camped literally a few dozen feet from the Atlantic Ocean, where the waves right now are pounding in. And I wish these microphones are picking just us up. I wish they could hear. I can even hear them through my earphones on the other side. The beach is maybe a dozen steps away from where we were. And boy, I tell you, that is the best sound in the world to fall asleep to. We have been here on the beach for, this will be our third day now, as we look forward to even another one. It's gorgeous down here in Florida.
We were extremely lucky to snag a beachside camping spot at the beautiful Gamble Rogers Memorial Recreation Area, about halfway between St. Augustine and Daytona Beach. Their highly desirable beachfront sites are usually booked a year in advance, but cancellations and early departures sometimes free up a spot, and that's what we were lucky enough to grab for a few days.
We sure were. Now, we've heard about this park for years. It's the first time we've stayed here, and oh my gosh, it is so nice. We have gotten so spoiled about the Gulf side of Florida, and particularly the Emerald Coast area, where we happen to have a condo, and we've done a lot of traveling up and down the Gulf. And we've been in the Atlantic many times, but this is the first time we've camped on the Atlantic. And I'll tell you, there's nothing like an ocean, is there? It is.
No, and I love big waves.
You do.
And big, powerful waves. And I think it's interesting to have white sand, black sand in Hawaii, and I'm sure other places in the world, various shades of brown, all different colored sand. It's fun. Variety is fun.
It's kind of a tan, brownish tan, but it's a little more coarse. It's not the sugar sand that we see over in the Gulf side, but beautiful. Anyway, and it's neat. You can bring dogs, not at the park, but just down at the end of the park, they have a gate that you can take your dogs to, and there's a public beach there where dogs are allowed. And Bo has had a ball chasing shorebirds, having fun. He loves that, doesn't he?
He does.
That's our morning routine. When the tide is low, these waves that, this week that we're here are powerful, and they wash ashore a huge amount. And Bo has gotten caught in that surf a couple of times, so we have to make sure we can yank him back in with his leash.
He is really good. When you say the word back, He knows to stay away from it, and he doesn't want to get wet.
Well, if you're a regular listener, you know we've been traveling up and down both coasts of Florida for a few weeks now, and we're here researching and taking photos for our next two 7-day adventure guide ebooks. We're going to do two books on Florida.
We're going to have two of them on Florida, one on the Gulf Coast and one on the Atlantic Coast. And we hope to get them both out in time for the tens of thousands of winter snowbird RVers who will be making their way to the Sunshine State after the holidays.
Yeah, and you know, the idea of these 7-day guides are that you can do it all in 7 days. It's always better if you spend 10 days or 2 weeks or a couple of months. But we give you 7 stops so that even if you have a limited amount of time, you can see a whole lot of great stuff. And one of the guides that will be out will cover roughly from Pensacola in the Panhandle all the way down the Gulf Coast to, you know, the Naples area, the Everglades. And then the second one will be on the Atlantic coast of Florida, starting at about Jacksonville and winding its way down to Key West. And we'll have a couple of inland sites as well in the two books, but we've got 5 books already out. This has been a very busy year for us, 2019. We have published adventure guide books on Michigan's Upper Peninsula. You want to plan a trip to the summer? Now's the time to get that and start planning. We've got one on Colorado. We have one on Utah and all the national parks there. We have one on Yellowstone, just Yellowstone alone. And we have one on the Adirondack Mountains in upstate New York. Awesome place to go on vacation. We will put a link in the show notes for this episode for all of the 7-day adventure guides that we have out there. And just go to rvlifestyle.com/269, rvlifestyle/269, and you'll find that. And we're having fun. We're sharing all of this stuff on Instagram. I just shot, as we started to record, a little Instagram we'll make it an Instagram TV video on our podcast studio. A lot of you say, do you really record your podcast in the RV? And yes, we do. We have a little portable studio, and I'll show you how we set that up.
And it's much more comfortable than sitting at a picnic bench, even though it's nice outside.
Yeah. No, we
could have, cushiony.
We could have done it outside, but the sun beats down, and after a few minutes, it gets pretty hot in that Florida sun, even this time of year. And so we came inside and we set up our little table here.
And Bo is sitting at our feet.
Yep, he's going to rest because he's been hiking all morning and chasing shorebirds on the beach. And he's a tired puppy.
And somebody gave him a treat, so that's going to turn him into
another camper. Another camper down the
another
way.
Camper, yeah, gave him a treat.
Oh, my.
And he didn't even care about the guy's dog.
Yeah.
Food.
He's been a good boy. He's really been a good boy on this trip. We've had pretty terrible weather for most of the last 2 months or so that we've been down here in Florida. A lot of rain, and then starting last week, we were on the Gulf side, and man, a cold front came in. It dropped it from 80 degrees to the 40s.
The whole country was cold.
I know, but in Florida, and then it rained for like 4 days in a row, and so, you know, we have a limited amount of time because we have to be home for the holidays with our family in Michigan, and for Thanksgiving, and we said, oh man, how are we going to get good weather? And of course, it broke yesterday, day before, really. And we've had just beautiful, beautiful weather. Temperatures in the upper or the mid 70s, I guess it is, low to mid 70s, perfect temperature, blue skies. I don't see a cloud anywhere in the sky. Do you?
No.
Nowhere. All right, so that's where we are. I mentioned we're sharing it on Instagram. You can find us on Instagram at RV Lifestyle Mike. RV Lifestyle Mike. Subscribe, and we've been posting numerous pictures all day long. I just stepped on Bo as I moved
my
foot.
Well, that wasn't nice.
Sorry about
that,
Bo. We've been posting numerous pictures as we've traveled working on these books. So RV Lifestyle Mike, that's our Instagram. It's also our Twitter handle as well. This part of the podcast is brought to you by Dish Outdoors, which lets RVers pay as they go and watch HD satellite television from wherever they're camped. Easy to set up gear made for the RVer, with the RVer in mind. We have a special link on a special package you can get for Dish Outdoors. Just go to rvlifestyle.com/dish, rvlifestyle.com/dish, and you can get details on it. We have been using Dish Outdoors for the last 2 weeks here on this trip in Florida. It's just nice. We're used to watching the news when we fix dinner. We put it on. We've got movies at night, all in HD quality. And what's so nice about this Dish Outdoors package is for RVers, you don't have to have a long-term contract. You don't even have to have a home contract with Dish. You can do it just for your RV, and you can pay month by month. And that is really awesome. You can pay as you go for service just a month at a time. And they have an introductory offer on some as a sponsor of the podcast for RVers with the same gear we have, which is this compact little Wally receiver. And then they have this great Dish Playmaker antenna. You can put it outside your RV, or like we did, we mounted it on the roof of our RV. The normal package sells for $348, but they have a great price. They'll make it even greater if you use the coupon code RVLifestyle at checkout. They'll give you $50 off that, so you get the whole bundle for $298 after that RV Lifestyle discount. To get more information on it all, just, again, go to our special link, rvlifestyle.com/dish.
News. Mike's got news. RV news, travel news, inside information and trends that shape the RV lifestyle. Here's the RV news of the week.
Remember we told you about a federal advisory committee to the Department of Interior that recommended bringing food trucks to national parks, privatizing campgrounds, adding extensive Wi-Fi, cutting senior discounts, and more? Well, that committee has been disbanded. The committee was heavily criticized for its recommendations and for being stacked with members of the recreation industry that could potentially stand to profit. What will happen with all those recommendations, however, is still not clear.
Hey, I'm all for fixing Wi-Fi and maybe fixing the roads going into the parks, but I think a lot of people just don't trust it becoming a completely commercialized operation. Anyway, all the opposition, they disbanded that committee. That's pretty interesting. They had an interesting story last week we came across from NPR in California on Mexican cartels using federally owned land in the U.S. and national forests to illegally grow marijuana in huge quantities using powerful, dangerous insecticides and other chemicals causing significant damage to the environment. One campsite recently discovered in the Shasta Trinity National Forest in California had 3,000 pounds of trash that included discarded propane tanks, plastic irrigation pipes, and an incredibly potent rodent poison. A law enforcement group is now forming to tackle this problem caused by cartels taking over parts of our national forests to grow weed.
A Mississippi couple could be facing fines and jail time for living in their driveway in an RV while fighting with their insurance company over a claim. The couple had an electrical fire last Christmas Eve in their home and were going back and forth with their insurance company to get funding to make repairs. The couple temporarily moved into an RV in their own driveway since their house wasn't ready for them to live in. But the couple's neighborhood association apparently does not permit RVs, and after someone complained, the couple is now facing jail time and fines if they don't move the RV.
Well, it's been almost a year.
Yeah, almost a year. I can see why the neighbors might start complaining.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. That's a tough one. Have you ever seen those do-it-yourself camper rehabs on YouTube or Pinterest? We've got a couple on our YouTube RV Lifestyle channel. There's a story out last week that featured a woman who buys old camping trailers. She guts, refurbishes, and then sells them for a profit. And then the woman shares her secrets and says she saves her profits for her kids' college costs and family trips. And you'll find those secrets in the story that we're going to link to. It's an interesting way to earn a little bit of money. Jennifer says that fresh look that she puts on the camper renovations reminds her of Joanna Gaines from Waco, Texas, the fixer-upper. Part of the fixer-upper couple there. We did a video of a trip to Waco that showed that town and some of their fixer-upper homes. We'll put a link in the show notes so you can find as well. But anyway, an interesting link. We'll have that story linked about the woman who gives facelifts to old trailers.
There was an interesting story out of Montana last week about a super wealthy ex-Silicon Valley entrepreneur who is creating a 3.2 million acre privately funded wildlife reserve called American Prairie Reserve in eastern Montana. The park will be free to the public and has the goal of rebuilding the Great Plains to the way it was before white settlers arrived. The whole project has its fans and detractors. Many ranch owners who have ranched the land for generations see the preserve as a threat to their way of life. For more information on all these posts, just go to the show notes for this episode of the podcast at rvlifestyle.com/269.
This part of the podcast is brought to you by Rad Power Bikes, America's number one e-bike brand, offering direct-to-consumer pricing and powerful premium electric bikes, and now with free shipping. Now, Rad Power Bikes has a surprise for you because the holidays are coming even earlier this year. Rad Power Bikes is starting their Black Friday Cyber Monday sale right now. You're hearing about it for the first time, and it's going to go until every 2019 e-bike is gone. You can save up to $200 on every e-bike from Rad Power Bikes online and at their Seattle showroom if you're around there, but only while supplies last. Now, if you have been eyeing a certain model, this, believe me, is the time. Rad Power Bikes Black Friday Cyber Monday sales are on right now. RadPowerBikes.com, $200 off every e-bike, and we can even get you more than that. If you use the coupon code RVLifestyle at checkout, they'll give you an additional $75 off plus free shipping on all their e-bike models. Once again, that's RadPowerBikes.com.
Questions? You've got them. Mike and his network of RV reporters have the answers. Here's one of our questions of the week.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. We've been RVing for a couple of years. We camped in a pop-up when the kids were young, but we have never winter camped, and I hear you talking about it a lot. I've learned about camping and winterizing the RV in the winter and camping, but I wondered what kind of activities you do while you're camping in the winter. I'm more of an indoor person in the winter. But I'm open to new ideas, especially since we've been RVing, and would love to hear some ideas about winter camping. Thanks.
Well, what
do
we
start out with? Cross-country skiing,
yep.
Snowshoeing,
yep.
Just taking a long walk, sightseeing, you know, walking along those trails, enjoying the beauty of nature.
Yeah, taking photographs, building raging bonfires at night. You know,
1 year, somebody built a couple igloos.
Yeah, we built igloos. Somebody actually slept in one.
Somebody slept in one for the night.
We have a ball on winter camping. Now, granted, it's not quite the same as summer. For one thing, you have to wear a lot more clothes, dress in layers. And even we've camped and had fun outside in sub-zero weather even. When you're snowshoeing, when you're hiking, when you're cross-country skiing, you are warming yourself up, you'll actually be perspiring.
I have battery-operated gloves, and I'm going to get some battery-operated socks before we go to keep me extra warm.
There you go. You need that extra, you know, you get your hands and feet get really cold. So there's all sorts of things you have to do. Now, you can't run running water through your RV because it's too cold and you've winterized your RV. So you flush the toilet. You can use the toilet just like normal, but you flush it with antifreeze instead of running water, right? And that's perfectly okay. And then you empty it, you know, when it thaws in the spring. What else do you do? You have your heater on, of course.
You're not going to be showering.
You're not going to be, you know, usually
you're
these are short trips.
You're not going to be doing dishes like you normally do.
Now, there are hardcore people who have, you know, little baby wipes and stuff to take showers and things like that. And there's all, you know, you can find all sorts of stuff if you do some research.
And if you really want to shower and you're going to be gone any period of time, you can find a hotel that for a couple bucks will let you shower.
Yep.
Normally.
Or a health club chain if you can find one like us. So there are lots of stuff. And, hey, we will invite you up with us. We're camping the second weekend of January at as we do every year, in the snow at Tequamanon Falls State Park in Michigan's Upper Peninsula. And don't worry, there's electric hookups at each site. If your heater can't heat your unit adequately, you can bring a little, like a little ceramic heater. Some people do that. Some people put Reflectex on their windows to keep the heat in, and we've done that, and that's very effective. So lots of things to do. But what do? You play outside with a lot of clothes on, and the fires, you build a big fire, you appreciate the warmth more, and it turns you into a kid again, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah. So thanks for the question, and let us know. I'm going to put a link to a special Facebook group that we have formed just for that winter camp out. Now, when you get to that Facebook, you got to ask to join it. Okay, you got to ask to join it, and then it'll tell you how. You have to make your own reservation with the Michigan DNR. We're not making any money or anything off this. We just go up every year ourselves, and we just invite people to join us if they want. We do try and find a couple of restaurants in the area where we can all go and have a group dinner, a Dutch Street dinner. But you make your own reservations with the DNR, and just let us know you're going to be there, and we'll keep an eye out for you. And we always have a communal site where we have a big campfire. Everybody chips in for firewood, and it's just a lot of fun. So if you can get to Upper Peninsula of Michigan the second weekend of January, come on. Some people like it so much they end up staying 3 and 4 days. We stayed one time because a blizzard was coming. We wanted to experience the blizzard. Everybody went home, and we stayed there in the blizzard. It was so much fun.
And the blizzard wasn't all it was.
It was only a foot of snow instead of the 3 feet that we thought it would be, but it was still fun. All right. By email, we have a question that came in, and here it is. It says, our friends travel with their freshwater tank full, and we never do. I want to fill our tank, but I'm very leery of what it will do to our mileage on our RV. Plus, I worry about roadside water sources or even campground water sources, even though we currently use campground sources for water for showers only. We don't even like our own household water to drink.
I don't like our household water to drink either.
Yeah. So what we do is it depends. If we're going to boondock for a couple of days, I will fill up the tanks, the freshwater tanks. We have, I think, 30-gallon tanks. I'll fill them up, and then I'll drive to the campground. The one thing I want to caution you, though, is the gross vehicle weight. A gallon of water weighs 8.34 pounds. So if you have, a 30-gallon tank, you're adding 250 pounds to your gross vehicle weight rating, or the actual weight of a fully loaded RV or trailer, including cargo and fluids and passengers and optional equipment. So you want to make sure that doesn't put you over the limit. As far as gasoline mileage, maybe you'll lose a gallon or two, but that's it. Maybe you, instead of 14 miles a gallon, you'll get 13.
Will the vehicle ride better because it's heavier?
Well, we have found that it seems to ride a little more stable. I don't necessarily do that, particularly when in the warm weather, because I don't like to leave a lot of fresh water in that tank for long periods of time.
It goes bad.
Because it can go bad. We use ours for showering. I hook it up always with a water filter, those Camco water filters. We get those, and we always have that in line. Usually I replace those filters once a year, so about every 3 months during the peak of the summer season, I put a new filter on. And that does a great job. It's a charcoal filter, and it traps a lot of impurities and stuff. And then we have a water filter inside our RV, as many RVs now do as well. So it's double-filtered water. I use that water for coffee. Jennifer brings bottled water to drink. But I would not worry about filling it up if it's 100 degrees out and you're driving, for a week with fresh water in your tank. I just think it can go pretty skunky because, it gets really hot. But under normal circumstances, if we're going to boondock, say, the next 3 nights, I will fill it up here at the campground before I leave. And then when I get to the boondock spot where we've got plenty of water. That makes sense?
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. That's our questions of the week. You can send us email, Mike and Jennifer at RV Lifestyle, or use our voicemail number.
Hey, fellow
fellow travelers. Want to have your voice featured on the RV podcast?
Send us your questions or comments. Send an audio file to mike@rvlifestyle.com. Or better yet, use our RV podcast voicemail number, 586-372-6990. 586-372-6990.
We want to hear from you. Call 586-372-6990.
This part of the podcast brought to you by Battle Born Batteries, maker of quality, safe, and reliable lithium batteries that can be installed in just about every RV. Whatever kind of RV you have, whether you have a Class A, Class C, Class B camper van, travel trailer, cab over camper, don't worry, these guys are experts in those types of RVs. They offer a number of different 12-volt lithium deep cycle models and solutions that will pretty much just drop into and replace the batteries in any size travel trailer or motorized RV. Their batteries are protected by a 10-year guarantee. That is awesome. And they can match your lithium power system with the right cabling, inverter, charger, solar controller. Why do you want lithium batteries? Because so many of us like to boondock, go off the grid where we're not dependent on an electrical hookup at a commercial campground or a big crowded state park campground. Lithium is great for boondockers. They offer better performance. They charge faster. They charge fuller. They're longer lasting and they're entirely maintenance free and very safe. Protected Battle-Borne batteries by a 10-year guarantee. So here's the thing. Go to their website and you can check it all out. Make sure you tell them, though, that you were sent there from RV Lifestyle. And their website, just go to rvlifestyle.com/lithium, rvlifestyle.com/lithium.
Time now for the RV Podcast Interview of the Week. Interesting, entertaining, and helpful information about the RV lifestyle. Here's Mike with this week's interview.
You know, sometimes I think we are too exuberant, my dear, when we share why we like to RV and how much fun it is. And you know, do you ever feel that? Because we're just always so positive about it?
No.
No?
No, I don't feel we're too exuberant.
Well, I always like backup. So that's what we have for everybody this week. I mean, we love
backup's always good.
Yeah. And it's always interesting because I love, you know, we've been doing a lot of research and trying to figure out what our motto is for the site. And we came up with one that is finding freedom and fun through RV travel. That's what we're all devoted, our podcast, our blog, our YouTube channel, all that stuff. And so we're always celebrating and having fun with the RV lifestyle. But you have heard us talk about it, even like now, we're sitting here at this gorgeous state park in Florida looking at the ocean, and we just wish you were all here with us. It's so much fun. But we have just finished the RV travel show season. We've been all around last year, this year. And when we visit people at the travel RV shows, we always like to ask them, what is it about this lifestyle that you like? And so we thought we would string together a bunch of interviews from people that we have met at RV shows about what is it about the RV lifestyle that you like so much? What does it mean to you? So listen up.
My name is Ariel, and a lot of it is just seeing the country. And I've cross-countryed in a car. And it's not the same as actually seeing it and experiencing it. We've got so many beautiful national parks throughout this country that I want to see it in person.
And why an RV?
You can go into the park and spend several days as opposed to staying at a Marriott or a Hilton outside of the park and having to go in and fight the crowds for parking when you're already inside the national parks. It's actually experiencing it when people have already gone home and going into the park and experiencing the evening and early hours in the morning when the animals are coming out and possibly a bear or a deer coming through the campground. That would be fascinating to see.
When you spend the night there, like you say, and you wake up in the morning with the first light and the fog and the animals and everything, or the evening, that's I think when the animals, because you haven't done this yet.
I haven't done this yet.
In the evening, that's when you're more apt to have
really?
The bison come through your campground, and that is so much fun. That is so exciting.
See, that's what I want to experience, because right now, I'm in a car. I go in with the crowds, and then I have to leave before sunset with the crowds. Yeah. And I don't get to stay in the park and experience what it's really like inside the park.
You're going to love it.
I certainly hope so.
You will.
Ken and Barbara Lange can visit relatives that are located all over the country and not have to be in a campground, because several of them live in places that are nowhere near a campground. Take the cat with us and not have to leave her with a sitter, and just have total freedom of, hey, let's go somewhere this weekend and do it.
And with the RV lifestyle, we've learned how to take baths, like a Navy shower. We know how to learn how to minimize the use of water, how we can heat things, heat water without needing a lot of electricity and stuff. So when we have problems at the home, we can revert to our RV lifestyle learning and not lose a beat.
Hi, I'm Paul Erickson. RV lifestyle, gosh, well, we enjoy getting out when we can. We've never spent any time boondocking per se, but we enjoy traveling the country. Earlier this year, we took off from our home in Vancouver, Washington, visited family in eastern Washington, northern Idaho, great grandkids in Montana, before we went on to Crazy Horse in order to Nebraska to visit my wife's aunt. Then we swung home through Jackson, Wyoming, where another sister lives, and then on into Idaho Falls, where Idaho, where we're originally from, and back home. So this trip, we're out. We went to Mesa, Arizona to visit a grandson. We're headed out later today for Vancouver and home.
So what are you doing when you're at all these places? What do you like about it?
Gosh, well, on this trip, we actually stopped and hiked the south rim of the Grand Canyon, which is a lot of fun. And of course, when we're like in Montana with a great grandson, they're a hoot. Just to get together with those five little boys, they never stop moving and just trying to keep up with them. And then of course, with sisters and brothers, it's just laugh and joke and kid each other. Yeah. And eat a lot, of course, when you're traveling like that.
But do you wish you'd started earlier?
Well, actually, we started with a tent when our kids were really young. Then we went to a tent trailer, and then a Toyota chassis RV, little coachman. And then we went to a Class C, Jayco, and that's when the grandkids traveled with us a lot, to Disneyland, Yellowstone Park.
Yeah.
So yeah, we just get out and do anything and everything we can. We did take the one RV to Orlando one time to go to Disney World.
So you use it for transportation, or would you live in it? What do you like?
I don't know that we're ready to live in it, so we just like to use it to get from point A to point B to do stuff. And most of that stuff is with the family.
But you camp in it, right?
Oh, yeah. We just haven't boondocked much. We usually end up in some RV park before we plug in the power and let her go.
Well, you got to get our boondocking book.
That's why. Yes, we do. Because we want to try some of that.
It's a great way to go.
Yeah, I believe that. I believe that.
So the people who are thinking about the lifestyle, what do you say?
Oh, go for it. I mean, you're never too early to start. I mean, goodness gracious, I retired from full-time work 9 years ago, or eight, yeah, 9 years ago now. And so we get out at least once a month and go somewhere for 3 days.
My name is Gail Geiger. I retired 6 years ago. Within 2 months, I went out and bought an RV. And I've tried three of them in the last 6 years. We like to do backcountry in Death Valley or Borrego Springs, or there's always some dirt roads back there. And so we thought going 4x4.
So you got a 4x4?
Yes.
Well, you do go backcountry.
Well, I don't know about the RV, but at least we know it can go there.
Yeah. What do you like about the backcountry?
Oh my gosh, since we were little kids, we would go, our father and parents would take us out in Jeeps and things out back, you know, way away kind of thing too. But now we go with a couple of vehicles together, you know, with the water and the tow and the satellite phone and, you know, all the safety things. But Death Valley is exquisite.
Death Valley?
You have to get back, uh-huh.
Really?
Yes.
It's a little hot there, isn't it?
Very. Yeah, about November is about the time to start thinking of going.
Really?
Yeah, to go in the wintertime and the summers.
And what about the flowers? What about the snakes and scorpions and things like that?
Well, the snakes come out in the spring when it gets warm. That's anywhere in the desert. But it's the springtime in the desert is probably the prettiest place in the world. And you'll be on a little road somewhere in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden you'll see this gorgeous cactus in bloom all by itself. You're 23 miles off the main highway, and you just, you know, you just stand there staring at it. It's so pretty. You know,
people hear you talk about that and they say, oh, aren't you ever worried about your safety out there?
Yes, it's a number one thing is water, water, and never less than two vehicles. We have winches, extra fuel, and we have satellite phones. And so that if you, I would urge your listeners, if they, some of the ones that, you know, you had stories where they got stranded because they didn't have a cell signal, a satellite phone, you will pick up a signal anywhere. And we carry one, in fact, we carry two of them, like as a backup, so that you could be in the middle of nowhere and you could still dial out and call somebody. So it's really a good thing to carry around.
Are satellite phones very expensive?
Yes. The way iPhones now are now, they're still $1,000, $1,200 or whatever. So a satellite phone would be in that range. The thing that's most expensive about it is you're paying almost $60 a month not to use it, just to have it. So if you, it's not a hi, honey, hello, how are you phone, you want to talk for 5 hours, because they charge you by the minute.
Yeah.
So the whole idea is just to have it, and then if you ever did get in a situation, you'll always have a signal where you can call out.
That's great.
My name is Jim Hands. That's my name. It's nice to be able to have that freedom to go where you'd like to go, and to go off the beaten path. And it's just been really nice to be together. And going seeing family and things like that, and being able to get away from family in a quick kind of, sometimes we just leave the motor running and we come back out when it gets a little crazy. But we really enjoy it, and we're looking forward to putting many more miles on it.
My name is Mary Lou Young, and the RV lifestyle, which I've been doing for years, means freedom. Freedom to go where I want, see who I want, visit friends and family, and just have the openness of the road. And we take the blue roads instead of the freeways so that we can go on the back roads. And we've been all over, even into Canada, and just absolutely love it.
I can't begin to tell you how much fun it is to meet other folks who share your love of the RV lifestyle.
You know, sometimes we kind of think we're just doing this in a vacuum, because we're basically talking to a camera or a computer, and we forget that there are really people out there. Sometimes we say, oh, nobody's listening to this, and it's really fun to meet these people, isn't it?
It was great.
And what I really enjoyed about it is the many different ways people are enjoying the RV lifestyle. It's not just, you know, go camp someplace and go home for the weekend. There's so many different ways. Anyway, we hope you enjoyed all of this, and we'd love to hear your story someday and what the RV lifestyle means to you. And you can do that a number of ways. You can leave us a voice message, or you can send us an email, or however it is. But the one word that has come through now in over 2 years of asking people those kinds of questions is freedom. We hear that over and over. That's what people get an RV for, is freedom.
Everybody wants that sense of freedom.
Yeah.
To come, to go, not be locked in to something.
And I think a big part of it, too, is this is our house. You know, wherever we are, we have, it's our own bathroom, it's our own bed, it's our own linens, it's our own germs, our own dirt. But it's our, it is an independence, it's freedom, and of course, fun. I mean, it's just fun every single day. So anyway, I hope this encouraged you. And I know a lot of you have now winterized your RVs, and a lot of you are not winter campers like Jen and me. So you're not going to be going out for several months, and I bet it's going to already make you miss it. And that's okay. You can miss it.
It always makes me sad when we winterize.
Even though we use ours.
I don't want to winterize it till the very last minute.
Yeah. Even though we use ours, we probably don't use it quite as much, but we use ours every month of the year. We use ours to camp in. So we'll see how it goes. Freedom.
That is true. We do use ours every month of the year.
Yeah, but she was thinking. I could see your eyes. Is that true? Yes,
true.
It is. All right. I hope you enjoyed that. We always enjoy meeting you and hearing from you what you like about RVs. So there's different things you can do besides having freedom, you know, visiting family and friends, staying in driveways and boondocking, getting way off the beaten path, touring. It's just a great lifestyle. The interview of the week is brought to you by our friends at sunshinestaterv.com, where every new motorhome is delivered to the customer's driveway free anywhere in the continental U.S. if that's what you'd like. Or you can go down to sunny Gainesville, Florida, and drive it off yourself and enjoy some time in Florida while you're at it. Sunshine State RVs has the largest selection of used small motorhomes in North America. Now, getting a used motorhome in good condition is not easy. There is particularly the Class Bs, the B pluses, they're in very short supply. You will find more of them, well cared for, well maintained, gone through a 172-point inspection to make sure everything is in top condition. You'll find more like that at Sunshine State RVs than anywhere else in North America. Now, if you're looking for new RVs, they sell all the popular brands. They have in stock right now the most popular Class B in North America, the Winnebago Travato. They have that in stock. The Winnebago Era. They have the Coachman Beyond. They have beautiful Class B coaches from American Patriot, the Fleetwood IROC, and more. If you are looking for any kind of an RV, check them out at sunshinestatervs.com. You can go online, look at their inventory, give them a call, knowing again that they really put their used and new vehicles through an elaborate inspection system. They road test the used ones to make sure they run and drive the way they should. They go over the interior just as entirely as they do the outside, every component turned on, tested. You can trust them. sunshinestatervs.com.
Time now for Off the Beaten Path, a unique RV podcast travel suggestion you probably won't find in a guidebook. Here's Mike.
And here's our regular Off the Beaten Path correspondents, Tom and Patty Burkett.
Hi, Mike and Jennifer. It was early fall, and we were headed to Algonquin Provincial Park to meet some friends for a few days of exploring this immense Canadian park. We'd been staying at Harvest Host locations the past few nights, an apple orchard, a winery, and a maple sugaring house. Tonight, it was a microbrewery, a favorite stop for rafters along one of those wild Canadian rivers. We called ahead, as is the custom, and were told that yes, we were welcome to stay, but the riverside location had closed for the season, so there would be no delicious craft beer for us to enjoy. We opted to drive a few miles farther to their other location for dinner and some entertainment before returning to the riverside to spend the night.
Along the way, we passed through the town of Renfrew and noticed signs for the Renfrew Fair. Since we've rarely been disappointed by a fair, we decided to spend a day or two checking it out and arrived the next morning at the gate. "Pull on through and park anywhere you like," said the gatekeeper. So we did, slipping into a spot just below the grandstand and next to the arena. As we walked the fairgrounds, I stopped into the office to say hello. When I told them we were from the States and might like to spend the night, we were told we could stay right where we were parked and given a pass for the rest of the fair so we wouldn't have to pay again. You do have to love that Canadian hospitality.
The arena on this day was featuring wagon races. Teams of up to 6 draft horses, each weighing about a ton, pulled colorful wagons in a timed race around the track. The thunder produced by those teams was truly earth-shaking, and we marveled as team after team rumbled by. After the 6-horse teams came 4-horse teams and then 2-horse teams, then pony teams pulling smaller wagons. Friends and family hooted and cheered from the stands, downing Cokes and Icies and countless plates of poutine. The afternoon wore on, and we retired to the camper for a nap, right there in the middle of the fair. The evening was cool and just a bit breezy, and we sat in our front seats with the windows down to enjoy a full view of the evening concert at the grandstand.
The next morning, we were up early to wander through the livestock barns and visit with the young farmers, mostly 4-H members preparing for the day's dairy cattle judging. The only food stand open was the Rotary's Bacon on a Bun operation, so I got in line. "How many?" the man at the counter asked. I told him just one, and the woman in line behind me piped up with a knowing smile, "You'll be back for more." Back at the camper, Patty and I shared it. Then she looked at the empty plate and allowed us how she could eat another one of those, and not just a half this time. Back I went, hoping for a no-judgment transaction.
This day, we visited the fruit and vegetable displays, the quilting and sewing and woodworking shows, and watched an auction of prize-winning hogs. At the arena, the draft horses were having a pulling contest, easily outstripping the best any John Deere could do. In the early afternoon, we saw folks beginning to stake out spots on the grandstand. In complete ignorance, but being no dummies, we set up our chairs in a prime spot and sat down to wait. An hour passed, and several semi-trucks arrived and began unloading horses and people in uniform. As it turned out, this was one of the few annual appearances of the musical Ride, a show performed by the Canadian Mounted Police. It was spectacular. The people sitting around us, seemingly all locals, commented on the fact that it had been years since the Ride came to Renfrew.
See a sign, take the time, is a little mantra that runs through my head when we're out on the road. We had no plans to spend 2 days and nights in Renfrew, Ontario, but we did have the time to do it, and boy, are we glad we did. We hope you will, too, and that we'll run into you out here, somewhere, off the beaten path.
What's happening? Time now to check the RV calendar of events and gatherings you need to know about.
Well, we have two of them for you this week, and the season's slowing right down as the holidays approach. The first one is this weekend, November 22nd through the 24th, 2019. It's the Tiny Living Festival of Florida at the Bill Frederick Park at Turkey Lake near Orlando, Florida. I like that, the Tiny Living Festival. And I love the name of the location, Bill Frederick Park at Turkey Lake, Orlando, Florida. Also, coming up the week after that, right after Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, December 6th through the 8th, the Fall Cleanup Sweep RV Show at Century Link Lee County Sports Complex in beautiful Fort Myers, Florida. And we'll have links to both of these that you can find on the show notes for this episode at rvlifestyle.com/269.
And that wraps up another episode of the RV Podcast with Mike and Jennifer Wendland.
New episodes are released every Wednesday, and the best way to stay connected is to subscribe to the RV Podcast.
We're in all the popular podcast apps, and you can also listen on the rvlifestyle.com travel blog.
Till next time, happy trails, fellow travelers. We'll be looking for you down the road.
Thanks so much, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Happy trails.